Today's reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 18, reading from the New International Translation. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus,
who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let me add my welcome to that of Rob's. My name is Eleanor and I'm the Associate Vicar here at Christ the King in Kettering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And as we look at this passage now, we ask that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what you think of or what your mind conjures up when you hear that phrase service, or that word service or servant. Maybe it's a civil servant, or maybe a church service. I wonder why it's called a church service. Something to ponder, maybe not during my sermon. Or maybe a military service, the people working and fighting on the front lines. Of course, we'll be thinking about that a lot on Friday when we think about 75 years since VE Day. Or maybe you think of a very different front line and those working in the NHS and the emergency services, or those who are teachers, or working in our delivery services or in our supermarkets, or the servants on Downton Abbey or another costume drama that maybe you're binge watching at this time. Is it okay to say that I've never watched Downton Abbey? I've said it now. Don't all send me copies, please. We're involved at the moment in a sermon series thinking about spiritual disciplines, which we started last term. Last week, we thought about the grace of giving. And this week, we're going to think, unsurprisingly, about service and being a servant, the spiritual discipline of that. Now, just a reminder that spiritual disciplines are the ways we train to help us become more like Jesus and to grow in relationship with him. It's not about the disciplines themselves, so we don't give or serve or read the Bible so that we can become better at those things, although that's not necessarily a bad thing. We do it so that we can become more like Jesus. And I would want to argue that service is probably the best one for us to see that really clearly in terms of becoming more like Jesus. Because when we look at scripture, when we look at the Bible, we see the word servant or service many, many times. In the Old Testament, of course, we have the prophecies of Isaiah prophesying about a suffering servant whom we know to be Jesus. And then in the New Testament, we hear Jesus telling his disciples that he came not to be served, but to serve. We saw that as he washed his disciples' feet. And then we have this stunning passage that we've heard read this morning from Philippians 2. The fact is, our inspiration for service is Jesus. And I want us to think about that first of all this morning through looking at this passage from Philippians 2. And first of all, I want to look at verses 6 to 11, which may well have been, not necessarily, but they may well have been a hymn or some words that the early Christians used quite regularly. What do they tell us about Jesus? Well, the first thing to bring out from verse 6 is that Jesus was in very nature God. Who he was God. I personally struggle sometimes when we say God and Jesus in whatever context it might be. I understand why we do that, but my mind is thinking, but hang on a minute, Jesus is God. How can we say God and Jesus? Please don't get a complex about that if you've used it. The fact is, before his incarnation, before Jesus was born on earth, Jesus was God. Just look at the beginning of John chapter 1. Jesus had the status and the privilege of being God. But our verses here remind us that he didn't consider that equality with God something to exploit or to hold on to or to have anything to gain through, because he was God. He was God. Am I clear? I hope so. Yet even though Jesus was God, we're reminded in this passage that he made himself nothing. He literally emptied himself. Jesus laid aside the glory he had since before the world began. He gave of himself fully, giving up his rights and his position. Elsewhere in the New Testament, that word empty is used to mean to deprive something of its proper place and use. Maybe you remember the hymn or the song that we used to sing, "You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me." That sums it up beautifully, I think. He gave up his regal status for us. We also read in this passage that Jesus took the very nature of a servant. Now, there's a danger that we think that Jesus only looked like a man, a bit like aliens try to make themselves look like humans in Doctor Who. But Jesus took the very nature or the form of a servant and was made in human likeness. Not just what he looked like, but his nature too. In other words, he didn't just wear the clothes, he did the job. Jesus lived a human existence. He felt hunger. He felt sadness and joy. And actually, isn't that something important for us to hold on to at this time? To hold on to the fact that Jesus too felt the pain that maybe we are facing at the moment. And what we hear in this passage is that Jesus gave up his rights. He was still God, but he took on himself the very nature of a servant. He went from the heights of heaven to being the lowest of the low. We also read in this passage that Jesus was humble. I would want to say obediently humble. Verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. In other words, Jesus took the lowest place. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane just before Jesus was killed. Jesus said to his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." In other words, he chose to be obedient to death on a cross. And of course, the cross isn't a nice piece of jewelry. The cross was a symbol of humiliation and torture. The place where the lowest of the low were humiliatingly killed. Jesus chose to make himself nothing, even though he was God, so that he could give his life for us. He chose humility because he chose you. If you don't know Jesus, I really want to encourage you to think about that. That Jesus became a servant in this way for you because he loves you. He chose to be humble for you. And if that's something that you want to know more about, please do contact us. We'd love to talk more. Now, of course, this passage doesn't end there. It goes on and reminds us that Jesus rose again, something we celebrated just a couple of days ago. And the rest of this passage is about living and acting out of reverence for and to Jesus in all that we do. The fact is, to live as a Christian is to live a life that is Jesus-shaped. And it's no different when it comes to spiritual discipline of service. That is Jesus-shaped as well. So I want us to now look at the rest of this passage and think about what the spiritual discipline of service might look like for us. But before I do, I just want to say that I was really struck by the context of the Philippians in this passage. The fact is that the people of Philippi, the people that Paul originally wrote this letter to, were suffering. Chapter 1 tells us that. They were suffering and struggling. And so these words are for us just as much in what we are struggling with and what we might be suffering with at this time. The other thing is that Paul wrote these words whilst he was in chains. He was locked in. He was locked up. He couldn't go anywhere. Sound familiar? Actually, if we look at Paul's letter, a number of them were written when he was in prison. And even though he did that, they still made a big impact, and they still make a big impact today, which I do believe is a really important reminder to us that God can use the situation we're in now just as much as he can use any situation. And it's important that we don't lose sight of that. That was an aside. Let's just think back to this spiritual discipline of service. What does this passage tell us? Well, the first thing I want to bring out is that it reminds us that service is selfless. It's not about us. If you're like me and a fan of Friends, maybe you're at this moment thinking about the argument or the discussion between Phoebe and Joey in one episode when they were trying to decide whether there was such a thing as a selfless good deed. I believe there is. Maybe that's a conversation for over the dinner table. Selfless. Being selfless is about looking out for others. And we've seen a lot of that recently, haven't we? It's been beautiful to hear stories of how people have cared for others or felt cared by others. The Message version puts it like this: put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Then it says, forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. That's what Jesus did, isn't it? He made himself nothing. Service is about sharing ourselves with others. How can you grow in this? It's not about putting ourselves forward. It's about being selfless. The next thing I want to bring out is that service is about humility. And humility is an interesting thing because it's a gift, it's a grace. We can't really seek humility. It doesn't really work in that way, but we can grow in it. We can definitely grow in it. And of all the spiritual disciplines, service is the one that can help us to do that, probably more than any of the others. We can set out to aim to do that. And I believe when we do that, we can grow massively. Of course, when we think of humility, we've already thought about the fact that Jesus was obediently humble, that is service. So humility is about encouraging others. It's about loving them. It's about rejoicing in their gifts. It's about being compassionate, forgiving, and of course, serving. But the problem we have is that one of our desires often is that we are recognised. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just that so often that desire to be recognised impacts how we view ourselves and others. And of course, it impacts how we act as well. I don't particularly like mentioning his name, but if we look to someone like Donald Trump, this week, even this week, he walked out of a press conference because of fears that those press conferences would hurt his election campaign. That doesn't show humility, does it? That shows something very different. It shows ego. Ego to such an extent that everyone else and what matters gets forgotten. Such a contrast to Jesus, who said this: whoever would be great among you must be your servant. So actually, if we want to be great, we're called to humility, not a big ego. The next thing to say is that service is about attitude. Our passage says having the same mindset as Jesus. So it's about how we think, how we operate. I think of this in terms of imitation and likeness. So when I was little, I did a broadcast for BBC Radio Bristol where I did an imitation of Margaret Thatcher. I was 6. Please don't ask me to do that impression. I sounded a little bit like her, but I was not her. The other thing is that I'm very like my dad. We have similar mannerisms. We have very similar senses of humour, much to my mum's dismay. But I'm not imitating my dad. I'm like him. I have the family likeness, if you like. And the fact is, we're called to be more than just an imitation of Jesus. We're called to be like him in how we think, in how we act. We're called to have the same mindset. One visual way that might help you is to remember those bracelets that said, "What would Jesus do?" on them. That's about encouraging us to have the same mindset as Jesus. And when we have the same mindset of Jesus, of course, that helps us in our actions and in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds to be more like him in the way we serve. The next thing to say is that I believe service is about being rooted in Jesus. Verse 13 of our reading says this: for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfil his good purpose. The more we are rooted in Jesus, in his word, in his spirit, the more this servant heart will be seen in who we are and how we act. On Monday night in our Ask prayer meeting, I didn't really join in the prayers because I just felt drawn to draw a picture. And it's not a very good picture, but I show it you on the screen in my braveness. And it's just a simple picture with my name, well, just says me, and then that idea of the fact when we are rooted in Jesus, what comes out is Jesus. When we are rooted and deep into Jesus, we can't but fail to be Jesus to those around us. Service comes out of relationship with Jesus, responding to the Spirit's prompts. Maybe someone's name comes to mind, someone you could help. Or maybe the Spirit prompts you to think, oh, the church need that particular position filled, or they need someone to serve on a particular team. Maybe I could do that. That's being rooted in Jesus, responding to him, allowing him to work in and through us. The final thing I want to say about service this morning is that service is for everyone and about everyone. It's about how we grow together, how we show God's love to the world, how we shine like stars, as this passage says, how we are united, how we recognise and show that everyone is important. Think of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. By doing what he did, he showed the disciples that they too were important. Peter wouldn't let Jesus wash his feet to begin with, but Jesus showed him that it was not beneath him, Jesus, to wash his disciples' feet. And it's actually an act of service to allow others to do things for us, because it's showing that they have value as well. So I want to encourage you, if you need help, please ask. We are there for each other. Allowing others to serve us and help us is also part of service as well. There's so much more I could say, but I need to finish. I just want to finish with some words from Richard Foster from Celebration of Discipline. He simply says this: submission starts at the cross. Service starts with the towel. We see Jesus in this passage as the most amazing servant. How will you serve this week? We're generally seeing lots of people serving others at the moment, which is fantastic. We're good in a crisis. But what about how we will serve when we're not in a crisis? How can God be growing this spiritual discipline in you at this time? How can you share with others this week? How will you become more like Jesus this week? Amen.